Good morning.
Hope everyone is doing well today. Today we are going to look in the last two chapters of Ecclesiastes. I'm not going to read those, but we are going to read chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, and we're going to see what God has for us. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 8 says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near when you will say, 'I have no delight in them.' Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return to rain, in the day that the watchman of the house trembles and the mighty men stoop and the grinding one stands idle because they are few. And those who look through the windows grow dim and the doors in the streets are shut and the sounds of the grinding mill is low. The one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters will sing softly." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for your grace. God, I just pray that you would give me the ability to step aside and God, that you'd speak to us. So we commit this morning to you and just pray, God, that you'd be glorified. Thank you, Lord. This section ends with those famous words in verse 8. It says, "Vanity of vanity," the preacher, says the preacher, "all is vanity." And that's kind of the culmination of this book. I want to read you an epitaph. I know it's kind of strange. We kind of like to walk through cemeteries and read the headstones. And I remember us being in, years ago, Sheila and I, we were in Colonial Williamsburg, walking through the churches there, and you know, this guy was born in 1632 and he died, I mean, long before I ever, you know, came to Texas. And so I want to read this to you, and I don't really know where I got it. I was just reading through it this week, and here it is. It says, "Pause now, stranger, as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I, and as I am now, so soon will you be. Prepare yourself to follow me." Prepare yourself to follow me. Beside this headstone was a little board. Somebody had written on it. He says, and on this marker, somebody had pinned the words. It says, "To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went." You know, and was he a sheep or was he a goat? You know, we don't know. Did he enter eternity with God or did he not? And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm not content to follow unless I know which way he went either. You know, if he lived for himself his whole life, I'm not sure I want to follow that. You know, Solomon's at the end of his life. He's looking back. He's evaluating what he's done. You know, this year, my daughter already says I'm 50. She actually says I'm 51. But at the end of this year, I turned 50, one of those milestones. And I have kind of been looking back, saying, okay, what have I done? Half a century. What have I been doing? And where am I going? And I think Solomon's doing the same thing. I think he's at the threshold of eternity, and he's taking inventory. You know, he's looking back. You know, one day we are all going to stand before God, our Creator. And the funny thing about death is it's inevitable. You know, it's going to happen. You know, if you think about it, you and I can't. We used to say the only two things in life that are real were death and taxes. And now taxes you don't even have to pay, you know. So it's impartial. You know, both the young and the old, men, women, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, it's impartial. And it's unpredictable. It comes when it's least expected. And we, as believers, should be prepared. You know, we should be evaluating our life daily. And the truth is, you and I are on that collision course with death. Can't be avoided. And you know, the thing about it is, I was sitting there last night at my desk, we're afraid to talk about it. I mean, We celebrate birth. Pastor Chris, he was praying this morning about the little babies. I was thinking the same thing. I heard Sophia behind me, and it's an awesome thing. We celebrate birth. But I want you to know something. When I die, hopefully it's not going to be anytime soon, maybe you'll miss me. You know, I want you to celebrate. You know, because I get to take this body and set it aside, and I get to be with Christ. And if you're a believer, you and I, we have the opportunity to rejoice in that. And I know some of you are, you know, you're in your 20s, you're thinking, I see one, she's not even in her teens yet. They're not even thinking like that. You know, death. Evaluating your life. I want you to rejoice. I want you to be happy because I'm with the Lord. And that's the ultimate goal. If you think about it, that is our ultimate goal. You might as well celebrate. I mean, it's going to happen, so you might as well celebrate. So today, what I want to do is I want to look at some life lessons that Solomon learned. And you know, Pastor Chris asked me to finish the book in Ecclesiastes. Next week is Advent. So, again, there's six lessons that I want to learn from Solomon's life today. You know, again, he's at the end. He realizes, this is the sad part. He's running to the end of his race, and he's realized all his pursuits were meaningless. You remember in Ecclesiastes 1, he's pursuing wisdom. He says it's meaningless. It's vanity. He's pursuing pleasure. And I'm guilty of that one. We're hedonists at heart, you know, if I can say it like that. It's meaningless. Toil is meaningless, Ecclesiastes 2. Advancement is meaningless. Pursuing those goals. I'm working on my house right now and my kitchen and all that stuff. And as I was preparing this week, I was thinking, yeah, all this stuff's going to burn. Here I am spending all this time, all this effort, all this energy to something that's not eternal. And it's meaningless. You know, it's nice for a while, but, you know, at the end, it's wood, hay, and stubble. Riches are meaningless. And I kind of struggle with this one, you know. But it's true. When you pursue money, you never have enough. Let me read it to you. It says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. You're not going to be satisfied. And again, like I said, he's standing there looking back, and he realizes that at death, all but one thing is meaningless and loses its importance. And that one thing is found in the first verse, chapter 12. Remember also your Creator. In his quest to find out how to live a meaningful life, the writer of Ecclesiastes urges his readers to remember God. And if you hear nothing else today, this morning, that's what I want you to hear. Remember God. You know, so often we read stories in Deuteronomy 8, 22 through 20. There's a story, you know, Moses, he's reminding the children of Israel, don't forget God. Let me read it. I'm not going to read all of it to you, but let me read a little bit of that. This is Deuteronomy 8. It says, you shall remember all the ways which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness for 40 years, that he might humble you and test you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Moving on to verse 11, it says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his ordinances, his statutes, which I am commanding you today. You know, Israel, when you read the Old Testament, it was like one good king and then a bad king. And it was just on and on and on and on. And I forget God. my daily walk in the morning. This morning, I was in a hurry to get here. I just kind of set him aside sometimes. And the writer of Ecclesiastes is saying, remember God, your Creator. You know, probably the most incriminating evidence of this is found in Romans 1, verse 21. It says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as Creator or give thanks, but they came futile in their speculations, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. They knew God. They knew who He was. They knew His commandments. They knew His ordinances. And they made a choice. So today, I want to look at, like I said, I want to look at six exhortations, six encouragements found in the last two chapters of Ecclesiastes, chapters 11 and 12. First one is found in chapter 11, verse 8. It says, indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in all of them. The author is encouraging us to rejoice whether we live a long time or we don't. Rejoice. In the previous verse, he says, the light is pleasure, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Especially in the wintertime here in Iowa, the light is pleasure, especially when it's gray. Some might say, or seem surprised at the words here. Up until this point, it seems like the author to me has been very pessimistic, very downtrodden. And I'm not sure he is. I think he's trying to give us a realistic picture of life. You know, remember he says wisdom is meaningless, pleasure is meaningless, toil is meaningless, riches are meaningless. All these, he says, vanity of vanities. We spend all our energy, all our time, all our effort pursuing these things. And I think he's trying to communicate. He's saying life outside of Christ is meaningless. I think the message he's trying to communicate here is life outside of Christ is meaningless. But as a believer, life is good. Enjoy life. Enjoy what you have. Enjoy what you have. It's all you got. The next one, second exhortation, is found in the second part. He says, but let him remember the days of darkness will be many. Here the author is saying that the days are coming when you will die. Tragedy will come in your life. And if you look at Job's life, we see Job, he lost his earnings. He lost everything he owned. He lost his possessions. And in verses, I was reading Job last night, in chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. It says, I guess I've never really picked up on this. It says, while he was still speaking, another one came and said, fire from God has fell on heaven and burned up your sheep. Verse 17, it says, while he was still speaking, another came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands and raided your camels. And then in verse 18, he says, while he was still speaking, another came and said, your sons and daughters have died. I mean, all just one right after another. Tragedy in our life. Sometimes life hurts, you know. It does. Sometimes life hurts. We lose friends. We lose loved ones, we lose money, we lose possessions, we lose stuff. And the optimal word here, stuff. If you remember Job at the end of his life, all this stuff that he lost, it was all replaced. His wife tells him, chapter 2, verse 9, it says, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. You know, the greatest tragedy in life isn't loss of unemployment or possessions or health, but one's faith. Or maybe I should say, as Ecclesiastes is saying, to walk away, to forget who you are, to forget that you are redeemed, to forget that you are called to be different, not to be like the world. And I think that's the greatest tragedy. It is for me. I walk just like the world walks. You and I are to be different. Well, the third exhortation, chapter 11, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice, young men, during your childhood, and let your hearts be pleasant during the days of your young manhood." And now the author turns his attention to the young people. And I know we have a lot of young people. He encourages them or urges them to enjoy their youth. Enjoy being young. I was thinking this is kind of a dangerous thought here. He just spent 10 chapters describing pleasure and the pursuit of pleasure and how meaningless this pursuit is. You know, we seek pleasure, and he says it's vanity. He says it's meaningless. It's like grasping the wind. And he says, enjoy your youth. But I want to encourage you, enjoy your youth in God as you serve the Lord. Have fun in the Lord. You know, the world, I was thinking of Toy Story last night, and I remember the little toys that are in the claw. I don't know if you remember the story, and the little claw comes over there, and he picks one out, and they're all just... they like the lights. They're mesmerized by the lights. It just kind of, when the machine comes on, everybody is like, ooh, ah, you know. And that's kind of how we are with the world. We see the lights, the bling, everything that's shiny and it's chrome-filled, and we're distracted. We're distracted by all the color. At least I am. I know the ladies are probably thinking, I'm not. But all the blinking lights are happening. We're distracted. Enjoy your youth. Enjoy your youth in the Lord. Well, the fourth exhortation is found in 9 and 10. It says, young men, during your childhood, let your heart be pleasant during the days of your manhood. Follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet, here's the warning, yet know that God will bring judgment on all of these. The first one, he's telling us, enjoy life. Enjoy life in the Lord. But know that we're all going to give an account. Ecclesiastes 3:16 and 17 says, furthermore, I have seen under the sun that in the place of justice there is wickedness, and in the place of righteousness there is wickedness. I said to myself, God will judge both the righteous man and the wicked. We will all give an account. One of my favorite passages is Hebrews 9:27. It says, for it's appointed unto man once to die, and then to face judgment. We will all stand, not in as a believer, not in condemnation, but in accountability. We will all give an account for the words, for our deeds, for our thoughts, for our actions. We will all give an account. Well, the fifth exhortation is found in 11:10. It says, remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of your life are fleeting. Let me say it this way. Get over it. It kind of sounds hard, harsh, but you know, bitter and angerness, I mean, it affects no one but yourself and those directly around you. If you're mad at me and I don't know it, I'm having a good time and you're miserable. You know, sometimes we hold on to anger, we hold on to bitterness, we hold on to offenses. And you know what? Sometimes we just need to let them go. Let them go. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, and no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. No root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And like I said, if I've done something to offend you, I think anybody would say this, please forgive me. But don't sit there and fester in it. As I said, get over it. Well, the sixth and last exhortation is found in verses 1 through 8 of chapter 12. It says, now first, notice the exhortation itself. It says, remember also your Creator. The author uses the word remember because I think we're in danger of forgetting. I'm in danger of forgetting. You know, like I said, the world offers so much. Commercials are out there just to make you discontent with what you have. So you'll go out and buy more. And the smells, the flashing lights, as I said earlier, all to get your attention, to distract you. But if you remember, we spent 10 chapters, Solomon saying it's all vanity. It's meaningless. It's meaningless apart from the Lord. Thessalonians 5:8 says, but since we are aware of the day, let us be sober. Let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of salvation. Let us be sober in our thoughts. Second observation here is the author, he's hammering home the point that we are to remember our Creator before it's too late. You know, remember your Creator before it's too late. Notice the author says before three different times in verse 1, verse 2, and verse 6. Verse 1, it says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come and the years draw near. In verse 2, it says, remember your Creator before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened. And then again in verse 6, it says, remember Him before the silver cord is broken. You know, I think days are coming. You look at the political environment and where we're going. You know, let me say it this way. The world's not getting better. I mean, it is. If you remember, I can remember back when I was a young man. You know, I can remember TV. I can remember how life was. It was not as evil, not as blatant, not as direct, not as blunt, not as ugly. And the world's not getting better. And if you look at Scripture, it's not going to get better. And again, I don't mean to be a pessimist, but I want to encourage you, remember God. Be sober. Think about who you are, what God's done for you. Remember who He is and what He's done. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Again, thank you for the message of being sober, and thank you for the message of remembering you. And I just pray for each one of us here this morning that we would not forget who we are. God, that you would put subtle reminders in our lives just what you've done for us. God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name.